Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about an upcoming deployment for our Minnesota Air National Guard troops, and we'll see what the Daughters of the American Revolution are doing these days. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Welcome home to the 140 soldiers of the Cambridge-based 850th Horizontal Engineer Company. For the past year, this unit, known as the Renegades, completed road construction and assisted with base closures and force protection in Afghanistan. Soldiers from the 850th represent 100 communities throughout Minnesota and Wisconsin. Though this was the first deployment for the Renegades as a unit, many of them have deployed before. The 850th Horizontal Engineer Company enhanced our international partnership with the Afghan National Army. They showcased what it means to be a competent, ready force. The next step for these men and women is reintegration. After a year serving together, they are now navigating their way through a new normal with their families and friends. They are getting acclimated back to their old jobs, and in some cases, they are looking for employment. My appreciation goes out to the Yellow Ribbon Networks, who are recognizing their returning community members, and my endless thanks goes out to employers who are ready to hire a recently returned veteran.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the Deployment Squadron Commander from the 133rd Airlift Wing to talk about an upcoming deployment, Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Wong. Colonel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us, Tom. Appreciate it.
Sir, great to have somebody from the air side of the house on the radio station. We always have the Army here, so it's always exciting for me as an old Air Force guy to have somebody from the air side on. Who'd you bring with you today, sir?
With me today, sir, I've got Major Kevin Roach, our Chief of Tactics, and Master Sergeant Rich Krivnik, one of our senior Stanovel loadmasters.
Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Colonel, we'd like to start with you. How long have you been in the service?
About 18 years now, Tom.
All that time with the Minnesota Air National Guard?
All that time with the Minnesota Guard. I spent about a year and a half in the Army Guard.
You were on the Army side. I guess I better be careful. There's soldiers, former soldiers everywhere. And, sir, your present position with the 133rd?
I'm the 133rd Operations Support Squadron Commander.
All right, sir. And Major Roach, can you tell us how long you've been in the service?
I got back from pilot training and started flying duties in 2004. My initial interview and enlistment was in 2001. It's a couple of years to get through training there, and been with the wing ever since.
And you're a pilot with the wing. Have you been deployed before, Major?
I have. This will be my fifth deployment that we're coming up to now.
Now, it's my understanding, usually when I'm talking to the air side of the house, that the deployments are more frequent, but they're shorter.
Yeah, that is the truth. Most of mine have been in the 60-day range. Last one was 120, which, as you say, it's nice that they are shorter, but you get back from one and you're immediately talking about and preparing for the next one.
And so that means you're putting in quite a few days each year, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Between the weekend drills and a couple of weeks in the summer and the deployments.
And having to stay proficient as an air crew member out there means that you're coming in flying once or twice a week on top of that.
And Sergeant Krivnik, how long have you been in service?
I've been in 27 years this July, 11 years active duty Air Force and 16 with the Guard.
I don't know if I can ask you how many times you've deployed. Can you count that high?
This will be my sixth deployment.
And were they kind of the same durations?
Same durations, yep. As short as 45 days and as long as 120.
Now, even the short ones are tough on your families, aren't they?
They are.
How has your family gotten through that in all those deployments that you've been on, Sergeant?
They've gotten through it really well. We communicate almost daily, which is nice. And I have two teenage daughters, and they've been around the military their whole life. So it's nothing new when I have to deploy again.
So your daughters think, well, we've got a couple months off without Dad. We're going to have some fun now, huh?
They're good kids.
All right. And Colonel, how many times have you been deployed?
I think this will be my sixth time.
Sixth time out. That's a lot of times away from home, isn't it?
It's a few, yes, sir.
What kind of training does the air side go through before and after deployments, Colonel?
Well, we typically try to maintain our readiness throughout the year, so we're constantly training. The local flying during the week that Major Roach was talking about is done, you know, pretty much 52 weeks a year to keep us ready to deploy at any time.
And the trainings for is there preparation training for the families so that they know what to do in case an emergency comes up when one of their airmen is gone?
We do have a pretty strong Yellow Ribbon program, and so the families get a lot of assistance through that network there, as well as local assistance agencies within the wing and the squadrons.
So the airmen and the families go to some of that training, and they know where the resources are in case there's an emergency.
Absolutely.
That's great. Major, have you got a family that's back here as well?
I do. I have a wife and two small children.
And how do they react to you being gone from time to time?
My wife's used to it by now, and on the last four deployments, my daughter was not really old enough to understand what was going on, and my son was born after the last deployment, so it'll be his first experience. But I'm a little interested to see this time how it works out with my daughter now that she's old enough to realize that I'm actually gone and understand that I'm going to be away for a while, and see if that's any different this time than the previous couple times around.
So is she aware that this is coming up?
I've started to hint at it. I decided I'm not going to drop her with the full weight of it until we get farther into the summer. I don't want it sitting on her mind at all. There's no good can come from that, but yeah, I'll tell her about it. She'll
better not let her get up too early and listen to the show on Sunday then, sir.
I'm sure she'll be up early, but I just won't turn on the radio.
We're speaking to three members of our 133rd Airlift Wing of the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, I know that there isn't much you can tell me about the deployment, but apparently it's coming up soon. Do you know, generally, is there anything you can tell us about where you're going and what the mission is?
Well, we'll be taking a smaller package of aircraft and airmen over to Southwest Asia a little bit later this summer.
And be gone for a few months or thereabouts?
About a few months, yes, sir.
And what kind of missions will you be flying? Do you have any idea?
I do, yeah. You know, the C-130 is an airlift asset for the U.S. military, so we'll be doing troop supply and cargo movement throughout the theater.
Okay. Colonel, I've got to ask you a question. We get this from time to time for our listeners. Is it possible that there's a single airman in the Air National Guard of the state of Minnesota that isn't aware that they're probably going to be deployed at some time during their enlistment?
Oh, I think they're all made pretty well aware that that's definitely a possibility at some point in their career.
And since September of 2001, there's been thousands of deployments.
Absolutely.
And occasionally we come across a listener who says, that isn't fair. But everybody that's in the service today, you're in the Air or Army National Guard, is pretty well aware that we have things to do and you go.
Absolutely. You know, one of the beauties of the National Guard itself, it's a volunteer force, so those individuals that are standing up saying that they're willing to set their personal lives aside and serve their country are fully aware that you know, they're going to go when the nation calls, and every one of them is ready and prepared to do so.
Major, can you give our listeners a little background about the capabilities of a C-130?
Well, the C-130 is the perfect intra-theater airlift aircraft. So we do our best inside a contingency area, flying into small airfields. You know, a lot of times they're just dirt or gravel. Offloading pallets there. We don't like to shut our engines down because if you shut it down, you might not get it started again. And most of those places are places where you don't want to spend the night. So we'll engine running offload our cargo and pick up the troops and the stuff we're taking out, and usually a pretty short leg back to where we're going. It's a good aircraft for airlift, or I'm sorry, for airdrop as well. I've been through Afghanistan a couple times and got quite a few airdrops under my belt, and it's really rewarding to see those parachutes open up, knowing that those guys down on the ground haven't had supplies for a while and that you just made their day by getting them what they needed.
Air support's pretty important. It always was in Vietnam, and I'm sure it's even more important today. Sergeant, in Vietnam, we thought a C-130 was kind of like a tank with wings. It's a pretty sturdy aircraft, isn't it?
It's a very sturdy aircraft. I came off another aircraft before I came to the Guard, and I had the pleasure of deploying with Major Roach in 2012. And you go into some austere locations, but we have a great maintenance package we send along, and the airplanes are very capable. We had a very high capability rate this last time around, so it's a good airplane.
So you've got a lot of confidence in it, especially as a loadmaster. You got to see the back end, make sure everything works.
Well, I got the biggest part of the airplane, so from the Station 245 all the way back, I'm responsible for. We also do the aeromedical missions as well, carrying people that need to get to a bigger hospital. So it's very rewarding to see that part of the mission, knowing that we're getting somebody that's been injured to a safer place and then on to home. So it's a great job. I love it.
We want to talk a little bit more about that air medical mission when we come back. Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little more about the upcoming deployment of the 133rd Airlift Wing on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been joined today by three airmen from the 133rd Airlift Wing of the Minnesota National Guard, Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Wong, Major Kevin Roach, and Master Sergeant Richard Krivenick. Colonel, we were talking a little bit about the capabilities of the C-130. I assume on this mission you have to be ready for anything that the C-130 can do, including hauling troops and hauling supplies and maybe airdrops, all of those things.
All of those, Tom, as well as the air medical evacuation mission that we can be tasked to do at some time.
Now, do you bring along your own mechanics for the aircraft as well?
We do. We have a sizable maintenance package that we'll be bringing along with us. All airmen from the 133rd trained to perform routine maintenance on the 130.
And whatever base you're going to, I would assume that they've got some spare parts and supplies and some of those things that you can fall into.
Yeah, the supply system's pretty large in the Air Force, so there'll be some stuff there. There'll be some stuff that would have to be shipped in. We'll bring some of our own stuff, and they'll have some general-type maintenance personnel there that are able to assist, as well as us bringing our own specially qualified guys.
So all of these months and years of your training and preparation are going to be tested, aren't they?
They always are.
Major, you're going to be a pilot on this deployment. You have to be, how many hours a day will you be flying, and how much notification do you get sometimes before on past missions? Do you get immediate notification sometimes, or is it usually planned out a day or two or a week in advance?
It's kind of all over the place. We have what's called Alpha Alert, and if you're an Alpha Alert, you're supposed to be ready for takeoff within an hour. So you basically sit in your room and twiddle your thumbs and hope that your shift passes uneventfully, and sometimes you get that knock in the middle of the night that, hey, we got to get you out there right now, and then you're racing through pre-flight to get in the air as quickly as you can. And other times, you know, you schedule a couple days ahead of time. As far as how long we fly, that depends too. Some of the legs we fly can be, you know, 6-7 hours long, and you might put in 16 hours of flying to get through the day. And other days you do 3 or 4 30-minute, 40-minute legs, and that's all it is. So it just depends on where you're going and what the needs are.
So how big is your typical crew on a C-130?
For deployed operations, typical crew is 6, 2 pilots, navigator, flight engineer, and 2 loadmasters, although depending on the type of mission, if you're doing a pretty complicated airdrop, you might bring along another pilot or another navigator, and if you're doing some of the high-altitude, you know, airdrop type of stuff, you might have a couple extra loadmasters in the back to help manage everything back there, so it can get pretty big.
Sergeant Krivenick, sounds like for a loadmaster, it could be pretty hectic if you get multiple missions and they go back-to-back and day-to-day.
They can be. Most of our missions from the last time around, you get alerted and you could be looking at 3 or 4 stops, making a stop back to the home base and heading back out again. Always configuring the airplane in different configurations. We might have 5 pallets. You land somewhere, you push those off, and they say we got 60 passengers for you to put on. So we quickly reconfigure to a passenger configuration. Also, you can, at a moment's notice, get a medevac mission, and they might have a critical patient being flown in by helicopter, and we can reconfigure the airplane again to support that medevac mission.
When you get notification of some injuries and that you have to transport some people for medevac, how long does it take you to reconfigure the C-130, and where might you go? I suppose to the closest, biggest medical facility that you can get them to.
A lot of times, if we were scheduled, there'd be a scheduled medevac mission. You would get some of your non-critical patients that have been waiting. Moment's notice, we can reconfigure the airplane within 15 minutes to go from cargo to a full medical configuration. And then a medevac team will come out, and that usually consists of 5 individuals.
And I've seen pictures of a C-130 when it's set up that way. It's like a rolling hospital, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We bring in the passengers. The only thing we don't have to make that configuration is the litters that the individuals would come on. But we have everything else self-contained in the airplane.
So at any given time, you're always ready to do that if the need arises.
That's what we're trained for.
Colonel, it sounds like you've got to be pretty flexible and on your toes and ready to do just about anything on one of these deployments.
It'll definitely keep us busy, and you know the theater needs will change on a daily basis and sometimes multiple times within the day. And you know we're trained and staffed to react to those changes and provide the best product we can.
We're speaking with three members of the 133rd Airlift Wing from the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, I've been deployed. I've been to Vietnam, a little different. But when you guys are on these deployments and flying around and doing missions and in your busy long days, with today's technology, you also at the end of the day want to be in contact with your family. How does that help you? Does that hurt you? It can't. I mean, you're doing your missions, but do you want to know everything that's going on back at home?
Well, Tom, I can only speak for myself, but absolutely. You know, it's nice to be in the know. Not knowing, oftentimes the mind can wander, and so I would always rather know. If there's challenges at home, I want to be able to help lend any kind of support that I can, and it might be very limited from far away, but just knowing what's going on and being able to help in whatever way we can is important, you know, and I think it helps the families too.
I'm sure it helps your wife if she knows that you're safe and you're back from your missions and you're calling up and saying, how was your day?
Absolutely. They, you know, the family back home always appreciates getting a phone call and knowing that you're back home and safe or bedded down for the night and safe. So,
Sergeant, when we were off the air, you were telling me about the previous mission when you were deployed and a C-130, another C-130 went down, fortunately not from the Minnesota Air National Guard. How did that impact everybody and how did that impact people back at home?
Well, with today's technology, you know, Fox News, CNN, you know, they knew right away that an airplane had crashed. And when we returned from our mission, it was nice to go over to the phone and make a phone call and let your family know that you were safe. Another thing with what Colonel Wong was just saying is with the technology today, returning from a mission, and you can FaceTime, Skype, it's all technology that's there, and it's really nice to see your family, your kids, because I've missed birthdays, I've missed anniversaries, and other occasions, and that makes it tough, but yet, to see the face on the other side and tell your family that you love them and you miss them, it's very valuable.
So clearly it's better to have the ability to speak to them whenever you have a chance and let them know that you're fine and make sure for yourself that your family's doing all right as well.
Yes, sir.
Major, communications back with families and pre-deployment training, there's a lot of things happening today to include families and to make sure that they're taken care of and they're up to date. A lot of things that we never had 40 years ago, thank goodness. How does it affect you? How does it impact your crew?
I think it's very valuable for my crew to have that instant contact back home. And, you know, we're fortunate in the Air Force that we generally deploy out of bases that have more infrastructure, so we have Wi-Fi. And I know that there's a lot of Marines and soldiers that are forward deployed to places that don't have that connectivity. But I'm very grateful that I do, being able to come back from a long flight and just check in. It's kind of like coming home from work. Maybe I'm not having dinner with them in the house, but, I can, throw open my laptop, and I've had the laptop put on the breakfast table back home, and I've had breakfast with the family, even though I'm eating dinner and they're eating breakfast. You still get that touch with them. And personally, I still do the letter writing too. I love getting mail when I'm over there, and you know, I have time in my day usually to jot down a couple of minutes or something and just put it in the mail and send it home too. I know my wife likes getting those little letters.
I don't think it's changed. The best way to get mail is to send a letter.
Absolutely.
Usually you get one back.
Yeah.
Colonel, we just got about a minute left here. The Yellow Ribbon programs that are here, they send gift boxes. They do all kinds of things to support all our deployed troops. That's got to make the morale easier and better when you're deployed.
Absolutely does. It's invaluable, you know, that the support we get from home is really sustaining for all the airmen that are deployed.
And Colonel, I know that this deployment's coming up sometime this summer, and I know you're going to fly a lot of great missions with these men. Any final thoughts for our listeners about the Minnesota Air National Guard and the 133rd Airlift Wing and deployments?
Well, Tom, we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. You know, we've got eight of the best maintained C-130s and some of the highest, best trained airmen in the Air Force, so I think everybody out at the 133rd is focused. They're ready, and they'll continue training, and we'll get over there. We'll get the mission done and get home to our families again.
Well, sir, safe travels and home safe, and thanks, gentlemen, for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Wong, Major Kevin Roach, and Master Sergeant Richard Krivenick from the 133rd Airlift Wing discussing the upcoming deployment for the Minnesota Air National Guard, Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll learn about the Daughters of the American Revolution. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
I'd like to take a moment to recognize a particular group of personnel we have here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And they're the nursing staff at our veterans' homes. National Nurses Week is celebrated each year from May 6th to the 12th in recognition and celebration of the nurses in our community. Nurses at our 5 state veterans' homes work incredibly hard to provide quality health care to our residents. For that, we cannot say thank you enough. The dedication and hard work of every staff member at each of the homes does not go unnoticed, and no doubt enhances the quality of life to our residents. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. The Daughters of the American Revolution were founded in 1890 in headquarters in Washington, D.C. as a nonprofit, nonpolitical volunteer women's service organization dedicated to promoting patriotism, preserving American history, and securing America's future through better education for our children. And joining me now to talk about that is Lori Clausen, who is the daughter, wife, mother, aunt, cousin, and niece of military veterans. Lori, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
That's quite a description. You must have a lot of military people in your family.
We do, a lot.
Lori, you are a member of the Daughters of the American Revolution. Can you tell me what is the mission of the DAR? Is that how you refer to it?
Yes, we're called the DAR, and our mission is pretty much three part of education, historic preservation, and patriotic endeavors. We have one of the most important committees in our service is service to veterans.
And your motto?
Our motto is God, home, country.
And Lori, who is eligible to become a member of the Daughters of the American Revolution?
Any young woman over the age of 18 that can trace ancestry to someone who fought or aided the cause of the Revolutionary War.
Many, many, many years ago.
Many years ago.
How many generations would that be?
Well, it was my great, 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 great grandfather that fought in the Revolutionary War.
6 or 7 generations
back then. 5 behind me. Mm-hmm.
And so you had to trace your ancestry back to that?
I did, yeah.
And who was the first? Was he the first one in your family that arrived in the country?
No, his ancestor or our first ancestor came here in 1632.
Oh my goodness!
And lived at the Massachusetts Bay Colony.
And you can trace it all the way back to there.
Yeah, but I didn't do that myself. Somebody else did.
Wow, that makes my family's 101 years here seem kind of short. Tell me, when did you become a member, and why did you join?
Well, I was always interested in the ancestry of the family, but I did not join until 2005.
And what caused you to do that?
I had some paperwork before that, but you had to connect all the dots, and I didn't quite know how to go about it. So in 2005, I belonged to the Josiah Edson chapter in Northfield, Minnesota. And I called the chapter and met with their registrar, who was this dynamic woman who knew everything about genealogy. And she met me one day at the St. Paul library, Historical Society Library. And what did we find there but an entire book on my family? And listed in that book.
I'll bet that was a fun day.
It was. It was amazing. Listed in the book was my great-grandfather. So then I needed to just connect myself to him, which wasn't as daunting.
Did you have some of that work done before that?
I did, yeah.
But what was your motivation, though, to join the DAR?
Well, I've always been a patriotic, spirited person, and that was my initial reason. And then I learned, once I became a member, it unfolded just what a dynamic group of women this is that are kind of under the radar in Minnesota. If we lived in the original 13 colonies, it would be a little more in the forefront. But in Minnesota, people don't realize that there are 25 chapters of the DAR here in Minnesota, all the way from Baudette down to Austin.
And how many members?
And I would say in my chapter, I have 83 members. But I would say they'd probably average between 20 and 50 each chapter. So that's quite a few women.
Well, there's hundreds of women in Minnesota
hundreds.
That can trace their ancestry back
that's
to
right.
the American Revolution.
And probably more than that that don't even know they can.
I was reading the website a little bit, and I noticed a spot that says that the DAR provided 197,000 soldiers with care packages and sponsored all 89 crews of the landing craft infantry ships during World War II.
Yes.
So,
tirelessly
and there was,
supportive of the
And on a history
veterans.
Page, it goes back, and you've been supporting for a long, long time.
Long, long time.
We talk quite often on the show over the last few years of how the Yellow Ribbon programs and how a lot of folks in Minnesota put together care packages to send to our deployed troops. But seldom do we talk about World War II and World War I and supporting the troops back then. But this is old hat for your group, isn't it?
Right, it is.
So tell me, what type of things does the Minnesota chapters of the Daughters of the American Revolution do?
Well, we do contribute to the National Society for instance, their scholarship programs. The DAR gives a multitude of scholarships, about $150,000 worth every year. And they also have six schools that they support. So we also contribute to that, schools for underprivileged children. And our annual donations for that exceed $1 million a year. So we have now a Project Patriot that's attributed for the military. And if people check the website of the DAR at www.dar.org, they can read all about Project Patriot and how we support the military at this present time. But I would say that the members of the DAR volunteer more than 250,000 hours annually to assist veterans.
We're speaking with Lori Claussen from the Daughters of the American Revolution on Minnesota Military Radio. Lori, we didn't get into your background too much. Where do you work?
I work at North Memorial Medical Center, right down the road.
Nope, I heard you mention that when we were listening to the commissioner's message this week about the nurses at the out at the homes. And what do you do there?
I have a job that's not, you know, typically well known. I work in the medical staff office of the hospital, credentialing physicians.
Okay, so you're employed still.
Yeah.
And how many hours do you put in your volunteer work with the DAR?
Oh, you know.
Too many.
I have so much fun doing it. I'm not very good at writing it down.
Now, do you have monthly meetings?
We do. The first Saturday of the month.
And I assume you have some fundraisers coming up once in a while because you told us about some of the contributions that
right.
National gives out.
But we've just started one in Minnesota, the state. Daughters of the Minnesota State, DAR, has started a 5K run walk for the Fisher House.
So tell me about the Fisher. We've had the Fisher House on the radio show.
Yeah.
How did you get involved with Fisher House?
Well, we were, three of us started organizing the plans for this 5K, Lynn Yarbrough, who is the past state regent, and Valerie Stackauer, who is the Minnesota Outstanding Junior. And she, the three of us were deciding, well, let's, you know, we need a more public awareness, more public presence. And if we start some fundraiser, where should the proceeds go? And we decided on the Fisher House.
Lori, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the 5K race and your fundraiser and why you chose the Fisher House. We're speaking to Lori Claussen from the Minnesota Daughters of the American Revolution on Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Please stay with us. Hello, I'm Tom Lyons, founder and principal partner of Phelan Partners Limited, a Twin Cities mergers and acquisitions advisory firm where we help business owners to plan, prepare, and execute a strategy to complete the deal. When I'm not hosting Minnesota Military Radio on this station, I'm hard at work helping business owners with their exit strategies. If you're interested in selling a business, please give us a call at 763-231-4200 at Phelan Partners Limited. We've been bringing buyers and sellers together since 1985 and would welcome an opportunity to help you. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been joined in this segment by Lori Claussen, a member of the Minnesota Daughters of the American Revolution. And Lori, quickly, can you tell our listeners again, what is the Daughters of the American Revolution and who's eligible to join?
Well, the Daughters of the American Revolution is a 120-year-old nonprofit, non-political service organization with a three-part mission of education, historic preservation, and patriotic endeavor. If you're 18 or over, any young woman that can trace her ancestry to someone who fought or aided the cause of the Revolutionary War is eligible for membership.
And your organization has been helping support our troops and their families for hundreds of years.
Long time.
Long time.
I think, you know, some of that comes from the fact that we are descendants of people that fought so hard to create this great country, and we try to keep that in mind.
And clearly, as we introduce you as the daughter, wife, mother, aunt, cousin, and niece of military veterans, they continue to serve.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so now we know why you're a member, and we were talking just before break that you have a fundraiser coming up on June 14th. It's going to be a 5K race, and you were trying to figure out who should benefit from that, and you chose the Fisher House.
The Fisher House.
Can you tell us why?
The Fisher House is just an incredible thing. When we read about it, learned about it, discovered the Fisher House is a Ronald McDonald House for the VA. And everyone in the country seems to understand when you say the Ronald McDonald House, they identify with that and know what it is. It's a place where families can stay and be supportive to their patient, their loved one. But they're not as familiar with the Fisher House, so we decided it's time they became as familiar with the Fisher House as the Ronald McDonald House.
And I hope you went out there for a tour.
I did. I volunteer there, as a matter of fact. I belong to Beyond the Yellow Ribbon south of the river.
Okay. And for our listeners that might have, can maybe remember, we had a member of the Fisher House on the show, and it's out at the Minneapolis VA Hospital, and it's a place where families and veterans can stay while they're recovering from some type of treatment at the VA Medical Center.
That's right.
So it's great. It's fun to volunteer out there, isn't it?
It is. It's just when you think of what Zachary and Elizabeth Fisher did starting this. In 1990, they came up with the idea. 1991, there were two Fisher Houses, and by today there are 63 Fisher Houses. And year to date, families served have been over 200,000 families. The daily lodging capacity is 832 families, and they have saved families more than $200 million in lodging expenses.
And that's across the nation, of course.
Across the nation. And we do have a Fisher House, two Fisher Houses at Landstuhl in Germany and one in the U.K.
And where you volunteer out at the Minneapolis VA Hospital, how many families can they handle out there?
We plan a meal for 30 people each time we go.
And it's usually full, isn't
it's
it?
It's full. Mm-hmm.
That's quite a facility out there, and the Fisher House is another great way to help the families of our veterans while they're out at the hospital. Tell me about the race.
Well, the 5K race is held in Ramsey. It begins and ends at the new VA clinic in Ramsey. It's a beautiful venue of a race. It's certified. We have it sanctioned by the USA Track and Field. So you can qualify for, as you're building your race history, qualify to enter other races by using our race. And walkers are welcome. And we start the serious runners first and followed by the walkers. We're timed by front runner and Randy Fulton and front runner do our timing, and they do a great job. And it's chip timed, and it's always sunny. And it's held on Flag Day, so we make a tribute to that, too.
Flag Day, June 14th, and we'll ask the chaplain to see what he can do about making
sure
it's sunny and no rain.
Right. Warm,
now,
no rain.
Where can they find more information about it, and where do they register?
They can register at active.com or midwestevents.com. And then there are certain flyers. You might find flyers, but the best way to register is by going to active.com or midwestevents.com.
And Sergeant Ben will have a link up to that on our Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page in case anyone missed it. We've just got about 30 seconds left. Lori, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners about the Daughters of the American Revolution?
You know, you might not realize that you have ancestry going back to the Revolution. And if you have an inkling that you do, I would go on www.dar.org and click the link for Ancestry. We have a library that is one of the world's premier genealogical research centers. So those people can help you trace your lineage back.
Lori, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Lori Claussen from the Minnesota Daughters of the American Revolution. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
Sergeant Major, I heard that you conducted a Best Warrior competition recently up at Camp Ripley. Can you explain what's involved in this competition and who's able to compete?
Sure. You know, our competition was from April 9th to the 12th, and it was really comprehensive. It covered almost every aspect about being a really good soldier. We had two different categories, one for junior soldiers and one for our non-commissioned officers. And every soldier who made it to this event had to have competed in one similar competitions at their company and battalion, brigade, and division levels before even arriving at the state competition. We really had the best of the best of the Minnesota Army National Guard at this event. Our competition included everything from the physical fitness test to a written exam and an essay. They did an appearance board in their dress uniforms. They also did day and night land navigation and some Army warrior tasks. They conducted a really tough 12-mile road march on top of an obstacle course and some weapons qualification. They actually did some handling media interview and a shoot house as well. So it was a great event.
Sergeant Major, I'm getting tired just listening to that list of things they had to do.
I know.
Is this an annual event for the Minnesota Army National Guard?
You know it is. I conduct this state competition every year in April. And our winners, which would be one soldier and one NCO from the competition, then they get to move forward to the regional competition in May, where they compete with the winners from the six other states in our region. And this year, we're lucky enough that Minnesota is hosting the regional event here at Camp Ripley. So everyone will be coming here to compete at the next level. We're going to have competitors from Iowa, Wisconsin, Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, and, of course, our winners here from Minnesota. They're all going to be here along with their NCO leadership to see who will continue on to the national level competition in Arkansas in June.
Sergeant Major, are you ready to tell us who the winners were?
I'm excited to tell you. We had Staff Sergeant Michael Walker from our 34th Cab as our NCO winner, and newly promoted Sergeant Corbin Routier from our 1st ABCT. He was our junior soldier winner. And right now they're getting some intense training up here from our subject matter experts so that they're ready to compete at the regional competition starting on May 12th. So these soldiers are a true inspiration to us all as they spend a lot of their free time preparing for this competition and honing their soldiering skills. They each also have sponsors who have given of their time to assist the soldiers in their preparations, and they assist them during the competitions as well.
Sergeant Major, Camp Ripley is a great training facility, and I know they've got some good ranges and training areas that you'll be able to use to conduct this competition. I assume you'll be using those areas during the regional competition as well?
We absolutely will. we want to show off the great facilities that the Minnesota National Guard has at Camp Ripley. And this would be a really great way for our soldiers to get some training and competition in, but also that their leaderships of the surrounding states can see all that Camp Ripley has to offer and help train their soldiers and units.
Sergeant Major, good luck to you, and we'll be pulling for our Minnesota Army National Guard winners at the regional competition.
Great. Thanks, Tom. We're looking forward to it.
Thanks for joining us again on Minnesota Military Radio. That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Wong, Major Kevin Roach, Master Sergeant Richard Krivenick, Lori Clausen, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as the Army Corps of Engineers joins us to examine spring flooding preparations here in Minnesota. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.